Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Sulemar surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
Hello and welcome to Cheers from the Press Box. I'm your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host, as always.
What is up, everybody? Brennan Tassif. Playing hurt, but we're still playing, baby. We're playing injured, coming to you live from New York. What's up, Joe?
Pushing through, pushing through. I'm doing all right, buddy. So because one of us is playing hurt, we won't say who.
Me. It was so funny when you were like, hey, we don't have to record this week. And I was like, all I have to do is talk into a mic. Like, I'm fine, man. Like, I can talk into the microphone.
I didn't know if you had it in you, man. Because the thing was, I expected you to text me early. And you hadn't texted me yet. So I was like,
no, I was
maybe he's really down for the count.
I slept like 12 hours. I was so... it was good to push because last night, like I was telling you, I'll tell the listeners, last night, like halfway through work, I was like, oh, I'm not recording tonight. I was like, I'm going home and passing out.
Yeah. But so we're going to keep it relatively short as we can. You know, sometimes we blab off and maybe Brendan's going to get a hit of dopamine while talking about some of these games and just go into hyperdrive. But we got some NFL. We got some college. I think this is pretty much now. We got like another, college is pretty much until January at this point because 12 teams and conference championships and whatnot. But we're going to start integrating the NBA in like a week or two as we get closer to the holiday break. The holiday break meaning Christmas for the NBA when their season officially starts in some eyes. And then we got one quick hit, and that is what we got. So without any further ado.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off.
Here we go.
Brennan.
Yes.
I know you're sick. But do you have the time?
Let me check. I think I have it around here somewhere. Oh, yes, I do. Actually, I have it right here. It's time for
Game of
the Week.
Woo. That was rough.
That was good. What are you talking about?
It was serviceable.
This is how differently Joe and I see the world. And every time when we clap, Joe always goes, man, that was a shitty clap. And in my head, I'm like, that's a pretty good clap. Game of the week, you're like, rough. And I'm like, that was pretty good.
It's kind of rough. Good considering, but pretty rough. I would say yours is rough, not mine's is rough. Mine was perfect. But
I've been rewatching Friday Night Lights.
Oh, really?
And just so everyone knows, you're Smash and I'm Tim Ring. To a T.
That's very funny. So the Pittsburgh Steelers went into Cincinnati. The Natty, as some people call it. And
Nasty Natty.
Pittsburgh had a game that we had not seen from them before this season under this new tutelage of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They've been their two quarterbacks to start this year. Brennan, they put up 44 points to Cincinnati's 38. Now, we know Cincinnati doesn't have the best defense, but 44 points is a pretty big number. I mean, that might be the biggest number Pittsburgh has had since Big Ben was there.
Yeah, this is the most points they've scored, I think, in the last three seasons, if I'm not mistaken.
That's crazy. So,
and they win. Cincinnati loses. Real quick, I just want to throw this stat out. The rest of the NFL this season is 51-1 when scoring 33 or more points. The Cincinnati Bengals are 1-4.
That's crazy. They have four of those losses. So what, three other teams have those losses?
They're 51-1 the rest of the NFL. Only I'm saying the rest of the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals are 1-4.
Oh, okay. So it's 51 and
so it's 52-5.
Yeah.
Total.
I think
NFL
that's the way I heard it.
Yeah. When teams score 33 or more points. Also, Cincinnati Joe Burrow leads the NFL in passing yards. Ja'Marr Chase leads in reception yards. And Trey Hendrickson is on pace to lead the NFL in sacks. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Speaking of the playoffs, though, do you think this Pittsburgh roster has Super Bowl aspirations? I know we've all been a little tepid in our analysis of what they can and can't do. And we thought, you know, good team, but you know, they're not going to be the team that, you know, breaks this Tomlin run. That's the funny thing. Tomlin hasn't had a losing season in his whole career, but I think he's on like 10 years without a playoff win as well.
Eight years.
So is this the team that one could get a playoff win, but can they make it to the Super Bowl, do you think?
So this is the weird thing. When I saw this on the rundown, my first instinct is no, because you, like you said, you look at it on paper, you go, they got George Pickens, who's like their best wide receiver. Russell Wilson, as he proved, can still throw a moon ball, and they have a great defense, but you're like, that's not enough. But then you start thinking about it. They have Mike Tomlin. Russell Wilson has been there before. Like, they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. This defense looked like the Baltimore defenses of old, you know, that everyone was afraid of. And the Steelers have always had a good defense, but this one is kind of like a different level. Like, the fact that TJ Watt is being double and triple teamed and still got a strip sack is like insane. And Minka Fitzpatrick is Kyle Hamilton, but like, everyone talks about Kyle Hamilton. Minka Fitzpatrick was the guy. When he got traded from the Dolphins, yeah, everyone was like, what are we doing here? Like, so my first gut instinct when I read this question was like, no, absolutely not. But then the more I think about it, I'm like, yeah, actually. I mean, the Saxonville Jaguars were one play away from the Super Bowl, and they had Blake Bortles. Like, it's not impossible, and Miles Jack wasn't down. It's not impossible for this team. We talk about this all the time. Mike Tomlin, the wizard, warlock, voodoo man himself. I think they could. I don't think they will. I don't think it's a traditional Super Bowl roster. But if you really cut it down, they have a playmaker. Their offensive line isn't terrible. And they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. So why not?
Yeah, I think that defense is going to be the thing. They haven't had the toughest of schedules.
No.
Because I want to say they were third in their division last year. But teams they've held in check, the Chargers, they held the 10 points. I don't know. The Jets mean nothing.
No.
Really, though, the Ravens, they held the 16 points. Lucky benefit of a couple missed field goals. We'll get to that eventually. But in those two instances, those are two teams that are more offense dependent, and they were able to hold them in check. Now, Cincinnati was able to get 38 on them. As you've said, Joe Burrow has been capable of doing this to every team, though. I mean, except the Eagles, who held them in check. But yeah, I think there is a possibility. Will they do it? I don't know. But I do think they stack up well against all the top teams in the AFC. They stack up well with the Ravens, obviously. They stack up well against Buffalo. I think their defense is violent enough to keep Josh Allen in check and make him second guess running out the pocket as much as he does. I think they can go nose for nose with Kansas City, because Kansas City can goes nose to nose with just about everybody, including the Raiders on Black Friday, which I want to make a declaration. I plan to never watch a Black Friday game ever, only and unless the Eagles are in it. I'm never watching that game if the Eagles are not in it. So I think this is the second year, maybe the third year they've done it. I have not watched a single time. And I'm threatened to not watch the Super Bowl game, the Christmas Day games.
I'm in the same boat. To be honest, in fantasy, I wasn't going to watch the Black Friday game. Obviously, I had work. And in fantasy, I was like, oh, I don't have any players playing except Kareem Hunt. But I didn't watch a single snap. And then I went back and looked, and I was like, oh, Kareem Hunt, Pacheco's back. He only had 3.5 points.
Oh, dude.
The guy I was playing against, who I was like projected to beat all week, had Brock Bowers. Pacheco. Didn't even check. Had Brock Bowers. 30 points.
Oh, wow.
I still crushed him. Because Denver's defense is the defense this year. But
Denver's defense is clutch.
But to your point, like, I'm not watching those games.
I'm watching that shit. I would say I might end up watching the Christmas Day game, some of it at least, because Beyonce's performing in the middle of the second or the last one. I don't know how they
And we all know Joe is a part of the Beehive.
Big Beehive guy. But yeah, so I think Pittsburgh has a valid shot at making the Super Bowl. I don't think it's as far-fetched as we probably thought going into the season, because they've over and exceeded all expectations as far as this season is concerned, not being a 9-win team, but two off of first place.
They were the two seed in the AFC, or at least they were for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, I would say they're the because of the Browns loss, now they're the three seed. Oh, yeah,
and the Bills are up there now.
And the Bills are up on them, yeah. So they're
the three seed. How about the Bills?
I think, man. I San Francisco's done.
Yeah, we can say that, right?
I wish that game was a little better and there wasn't as many like close games, because I would love to stomp on that grave for a little bit. But, Brandon, what do you think Cincinnati's future looks like? Like we just said, Burrow has had a phenomenal season. Chase has had a phenomenal season. Jay Hendricks has had a phenomenal season. What is this team actually? Like Cameron Brink, Cam Taylor Brent had a pick six in this game. Like,
and he's had a bunch of picks on the year. Remember, he was talking all that shit against Kansas City and then picked off Patrick Mahomes, which last year would have meant something. This year, Patrick Mahomes, I think, has still more turnovers than touchdowns. But
damn.
It's weird because Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator 3 years ago, was the guy. Big Lou was the guy. And then you give it time, and now all of a sudden it looks like this is statistically one of the worst defenses in the NFL, minus the sacks, which, again, doesn't mean anything if you're losing games. So I think – and the problem is they're a cheap team. Everybody knows that. So the problem is going to be the coaching situation. You know, you can bring in a new defensive coordinator, but the grass isn't always greener. You're already not spending money on free agents. You're already not paying a lot of your guys. So, like, I think this is what I'll say. I think it's very difficult to have some of these players that they have, and they have paid, like Burrow and Chase and these kind of guys.
Haven't paid Chase yet.
Oh, they haven't? I thought they did. I thought they worked that out.
That was the whole issue going into the season.
Yeah, so I assume if they pay Chase and you have Burrow and Chase, it will be difficult for this team to be a dumpster fire. But if they don't pay Chase, they're going to let T. Higgins walk. Like, this could get really bad really quickly.
Yeah. I was about to say, Chase is on the second to last year of his rookie deal. He won
the
deal.
He has the fifth-year option because he's a first-round pick.
Yeah, I was about to say, and he doesn't have to be tagged yet, whereas T. Higgins was tagged this season.
Yeah, and they're going to probably let T. Higgins walk. I mean,
they're going to let him walk, and they're going to they better not tag Chase because he ain't showing up.
If they did something incredibly uncharacteristic and just paid T. Higgins, paid Chase, and like we're like, all right, let's ride, then I would be like, oh, the future doesn't look abysmal. You know, they have a bad season, they'll regroup, they'll figure it out. But the problem is Cincinnati doesn't do that. It was a big deal that they paid Burrow. It was a huge deal. And they had to sell the naming rights for the stadium in order to pay him.
They literally they had to do things they didn't want to do for years because Paul Brown's son wanted to keep his dad's name on the stadium.
But then they had to sell the naming rights to the stadium.
Had to get some extra money.
Yeah, so for those of you listening, we've talked about this before, but in order to pay someone, the guaranteed money has to be put in an offshore account in escrow because the owners have to have that cash available. Now, you might think, oh, these are billionaires. They're not. Mark Davis is cash poor. The Bengals are cash poor. These owners don't have millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to just put into an account.
Yeah, so some of these guys inherited the teams and the family business. That's all they
need. That's why Tom Brady had to invest in the Raiders, because they needed that cash. Like, they needed an influx of money. That's why Paul Brown's son had to sell the naming rights to the stadium, because he needed that influx of money. So it's not like we're not talking about we're not talking about like Jerry Jones, who was a billionaire and then bought the team. Like, we're talking about guys who just don't have the money to sign players sometimes. So I think if they can figure out a way to make it work with Chase and Burrow and get some, like, keep Cam Taylor Britt, keep Trey Hendrickson, then they could be okay. And this is just this is a 49ers kind of like bloop on the radar. But if they don't make a drastic character change as far as the ownership, this team will be a good quarterback, bad team situation, which we've seen plenty of times in the NFL where you have a quarterback.
We've seen plenty of times with this team.
Yeah.
I mean, Carson Palmer, Ocho. Yep. I mean, we could be in that period, like if they're having a, can't even say a great season, because they're both having great seasons, but if like, if everything kind of just falls in place, like they can end up being a 7 seed, a 6 seed, but never really threatened anymore. Like their chances of threatening for a Super Bowl is kind of done, but they can have a low, a high ceiling, but the highest their ceiling would be like a 6 or a 7 seed.
So yeah, like a high floor. Like they, high floor they, is what I meant. Yeah, they're not gonna. High but floor, this is the other ceiling. Thing too, is we saw this with Carson Palmer, and what happened? Injury after injury, because they wouldn't invest in the offensive line, because they wouldn't keep some of those players.
And they eventually boycotted, retired.
And, I mean, we've seen it all over the NFL where it got, and I mean, this is going to sound ridiculous with Carson Palmer and talking about Joe Burrow and Carson Palmer, but Andy Dalton took that team to the playoffs like 7 years in a row. But they wouldn't put pieces around him. So he could only go so, to your point, they had a high floor. They could only sneak into the playoffs, and then they would lose in the first round. Like, and that's not what you want. No man's land is not what you want for a team. You either want to get high draft picks. Like the Patriots right now are in an ideal situation where you have a quarterback where you go, this is the guy, but they still find a way to lose games. They don't do it on purpose, but they still lose. Yeah. So then you can put pieces around him. But Cincinnati's not in that situation. They'll never have but I don't foresee them having a top 10 pick as long as Burrow and Chase are there.
Well, they might have one this season.
Yeah, they might this season, but yeah. After this season, like I don't know, but Burrow gets hurt a lot, so I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. I just want to close this loop because when you said it, I was like, there's zero possibility this is true. Patrick Mahomes does not have more interceptions than touchdowns.
It's just a low number this year, so I wanted to throw that out.
Great. 19-11. So he's almost 2-for-1. He's on pace for being 2-to-1.
Yeah, sounds like the best quarterback of all time, doesn't it, folks?
Speaking of someone, hey man, everybody, one of people's favorite quarterbacks, Brett Favre. Fun fact, me and my group chat was doing some stat looking up, some research.
Some digging,
because Jameis threw a pick six towards the end of that game last night.
Love that.
Great game.
Love that.
Great game.
I was a big fan of Denver defense.
As we all know, I'm not a big fan of James. And one of my brothers had a parlay picking every team right this week, and he needed the Broncos to win to finish it out. And after that pick six, I just texted him, boom. So, but so yeah, we did. We were like, who has the most pick sixes? We were like, James has to be high up on that list, right? Jameis was tied going into last night. He was tied for 53rd with 12 pick sixes in his career.
Daniel Jones is up there, isn't he?
He threw two. I don't know. I'd have to go and look. Don't ask me this. He threw two more in that game, though. So Jameis is now tied for 33rd with 14. Number one on the list, I'm pretty sure you can guess who it is.
Brett Favre
with 32. Number two is also an active player right now.
32?
Brett Favre had 32, yeah.
Kirk Cousins.
No.
Kirk Cousins.
Not Kirk Cousins.
Active player right now.
Think of somebody who played, huh?
Active player right now.
Think of someone who played in the doldrums for many seasons.
Sam Darnold?
No.
Who is it?
Matt Stafford.
I couldn't. It's just 30. He's revitalized 30. His career so much that I didn't even think about that.
I know. Like when I saw it, I was like, wow. And then I was like, wait, he's still playing. I was like, well, he's the only active player in the top five. Oh, wait.
It's so weird to think him and I are the same age.
He's 36?
Yeah.
Damn, he's only 36?
Yeah.
I feel like he's so much older. He's been around so long, it feels like.
I know, but it's just weird because like I was telling you, like when I go to the gym and my back only feels good like one day a week, I'm like, God, this guy's out there playing football.
Well, that's how he felt last year. Apparently, like his elbow was all out of whack every week.
Yeah.
But you know, he also has the best doctors and trainers and everything. All right. Enough of this game. Let's move on.
February 7th,
actually speak about Sam Darnold. What did you say?
February 7th, 1988, Matthew Stafford's birthday.
Stafford. Speaking of Sam Darnold, he is tied. Is he in the top 10? Yeah, he's tied for fourth in interceptions. He has 10. 23 touchdowns, though. Hasn't thrown another one to Justin Jefferson since like week 8 or something.
That's
got
to be so frustrating for a player to be that good that you're always getting blanketed and you're like, like your team is winning, like other people are scoring, but you're like, you got it. Just as an like a competitor in the back of my head, I'd be like,
it's like, I want to contribute.
Yeah, like fuck.
And
this.
Your contribution is being out there and distracting
just
everybody.
Being out there.
But the Minnesota Vikings go on to win in a game versus the Arizona Cardinals. Escaped just in the last seconds there. If I'm not mistaken, the Cardinals scored and then the Cardinals kicked the field goal to take the lead, and then the Vikings had to score within 2 minutes. Had a bit of a 2 minute drive there. The Cards, I think, I want to say Kyler threw an interception to end it to Byron Murphy. Who played for the Cardinals. So, Brennan, do you really believe in this Minnesota team? That's my
question. This is funny because we're talking about this. It's almost an inverse of the Pittsburgh thing.
Pittsburgh,
if you weren't paying attention, kind of you were like, wait, what? But Minnesota, after like week three, we were like, I know I was a prisoner of the moment. And I was like, Sam Darnold's back, Justin Jefferson, here we go. But then they've had close games, not only against the Cardinals, who aren't a terrible team this year, but the Jags game they could have lost. Like, there's a couple of games where you're like, what the hell is going on?
I'll give a couple to you. They beat the Packers by 2. They beat the Jets by 6. 6 in London. They beat the Jags, as you said, by 5. They beat the Bears by 3. And they beat the Cards by 1.
Yeah, that Bears win doesn't look as impressive either. Yeah, I don't believe in Minnesota as much as I love Sam Darnold, and that offense is really good. And like I said, I've been on here campaigning for Brian Flores to be the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think there's a problem.
You got a lot of campaigns going. You also got Ben Johnson in your campaign.
I got 2. I just have 2. I think that defense is fantastic, but I think what it is with that defense is it's Brian Flores. They don't have the horses. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the players. It's the scheme, and the scheme can get figured out. That's why they pay the offensive coaches. So I feel like Minnesota is kind of teetering on that whole, once they get found out, it's not going to look great because the offense is explosive, and Addison and Justin Jefferson obviously are very good. But Sam Darnold, it has been documented, as much as I fight it, he is not the kind of player who elevates the rest of his team. He can play to the level of the rest of his team, but the rest of his team is very good. So I don't believe in Minnesota. I don't even think they're the best team in their division. That would be the Lions. And I think the longer the season goes, the more at risk they are for Flores' defense of getting exploited.
They got 2 Murphys. Oh, they got a Byron Murphy, and then they got a Cameron Bynum. I was like, what the heck just happened there? I 100% concur. I think the thing is their defense is also like full of guys who are guys somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know any drafted player in the last 5 years that's on this defense. It's like drafted by them. This Cameron Bynum kid might be one of them who I had never heard of prior to just now. 26. Yep, he was a 4th-round pick for them. But Harrison Smith, who was drafted by them, he's 35 now, still playing safety at a high level. They got Stephon Gilmore, 34, like well beyond his peak years. They got Shaquille Griffin, who came over from
Seattle
Seahawks. They got Van Ginkel, who we talked about was down in Miami for a while. I don't know if the defense has the horses, and something that's making me nervous as a fantasy owner, Aaron Jones and this fumble issue.
Yeah.
3 straight games now losing a fumble, had 2 in this game. Only lost 1 of the 2, thankfully enough. If a lot of that early season success, we saw Aaron Jones like playing really well, looking like he hadn't in years because due to injury and, upheaval in Green Bay over the last couple seasons with, you know, Rodgers and all that jazz. But he was looking really good. And now that he's fluctuating, they only ran the ball 15 times the other day, like as a team. And he had five of those, and he had two fumbles in that. Sam Darnold had four of those. Cam Akers had four of those. And then Ty Chandler had two. They have to, if for me to really believe in them, they'd have to be running the ball as they did earlier in the season. And even actually last game, I want to say Aaron Jones had 100 yards, but he had a fumble as well. So establishing that run so that you can alleviate some of the attention on your receivers, and that'll help Sam Darnold with those play action moves, get guys more open. They really need to, like you said, he's not the floor raiser himself. You got to kind of carry him along and make the situation as advantageous for him as possible. And if your whole system is kind of predicated on like hand holding your quarterback, I don't know how far your quarterback is really going to be able to go.
Yeah.
There's one thing to play to somebody's strengths, but there's another thing like put protective glass around them to make sure nothing bad happens. With that, though, I wanted to also ask you, do you think the Cardinals are a good team? This is a team that you've shitted on a lot over the past couple seasons.
Yes, I have.
And rightfully so. They've been very bad in past seasons. But do you think this is the second year with Jonathan Gannon? Kyler coming back. He came back from injury midway through last year. We're seeing him fully healthy now. They have Marvin Harrison Jr. Defense looks better in most respects. But do you think this team is actually good?
I think when Kyler Murray is healthy, this team is better than a 6-6 team. I think this team is better than a 500 team. So to point blank answer the question, I think they are better than their record. Some of these losses have been kind of, you know, it's the NFL. We've got teams out there, like my team has lost seven games now by seven or fewer points. Yeah. Like, it's just, that's how the NFL works. And this is
weird.
But
they lose,
because,
though. Mainly, they get blown out. It's crazy.
That's true. But this is something I said.
They got a blowout to the Commanders.
How many games have they lost by, like, more than 10 points?
More than 10? It looks like actually only two. I'd say that, and then it looks... Three. They had a 16-6 game last week against the Seahawks.
Yeah, so this is a weird thing because I was on this program saying if Kyler Murray could stay healthy, this is a good team. But Kyler Murray can never stay healthy. That's why I don't think it's a good team. But now Kyler Murray is healthy, and they're still losing these games. So I believe in Gannon as a coach. I think he's one of those guys where he's a little weird coming out of the gate, but sometimes those coaches are the best coaches. Look at Dan Campbell. Well, that's true. But I think it's a good team. This is a weird spot to be in because you know you're a good team, but you just haven't, you've caught a couple bad breaks. Mm. So it's one of those things where it's like when they're rolling, you're like, no one can stop it. Between Connor and Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr. and McBride, like this team is on it.
And then, McBride not having a touchdown
is
the most bizarre thing.
He's like hurtling defenders, but he still doesn't have a tutty.
Getting knocked out at the one every game.
I know. But then you see games where, like, you see the game against the Rams, 41-10, and you're like, wow, they're on it. And then they lose to the Commanders, 42-14, and you're like, what the hell is happening here?
So Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, they're a very Jekyll and Hyde team. So I think on paper they are better than their record. I think they should be at least like an 8-win team, maybe even a 10-win team. Maybe they will be when it's all said and done. But 6-6 right now for kind of the firepower that they have and Kyler being healthy for a full season so far just seems very low.
I was going to say their last five remaining games? Mm-hmm. Yeah, last five games. They got the Seahawks. They got the Patriots. They got the Panthers, Rams, 49ers.
So they'll probably lose two, if not three, of those games.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I can see them winning all those games, but I could also see them losing all those games.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
is who this team is.
That's exactly who they are.
They live on a razor's edge. It's very But this is a formidable foe. I think that's the sentiment. Like, this is not a walkover, a pushover. This is a good team. They're just in competitive game. They're in every game. Every game is, it's like the Eagles earlier this season and last year. Like, every game, it's going to come down to, like, one decision.
Yeah.
All right, Brennan. We were part of the cacophony of people who were admonishing Anthony Richardson when he took himself out of the game. And then we thought Shane Steichen was justified and decided to bench him after the fact. But we haven't really talked about them much since he's been reinstated as the starter. And since then, I believe they have, what, three wins?
Two and one.
Yeah, he came back against the Jets, lost to the Lions, beat the Patriots just now. So Brennan, wait, did he come back against the Bills? Am I tripping? No, he did not. All right, so I had that right initially. Don't second guess yourself, Brennan.
Yes.
Do you think they can go on a run? Let me outline the last four games they have here. They got the Broncos, who are a formidable foe. Then they got the Titans, the Giants, and the Jags.
So they're actually still competing for that wild card spot. They could actually still make the playoffs. But I think they're going to lose one, if not two of those games that they should win. So the Broncos, let's say that's a loss. I think Anthony Richardson's going to Anthony Richardson in some of these games. He's a fantastic athlete. He's a very good quarterback when he's on. But when he's not on, it's bad. It's really bad. Like two completions in an entire half kind of bad, which he's done. So I don't think they can go on a run because I think, speaking of Jekyll and Hyde, I think he's just too volatile as far as his play. So I don't think the Colts can go on a run. DeForest Buckner, though, revitalizing his career. Everyone thought that defense for the Colts was worse than the NFL. They're washed. Blah, blah, blah. They're making some plays out there.
Yeah.
But I just don't think... I think Anthony Richardson, after this year, when he gets a little more experience, because he didn't have a lot of experience coming out of college, when he gets a little more experience and he
and
can
then
be
got
more,
hurt last year.
Yeah, exactly. If he can get more leveled off, I would have a lot more faith in the Colts. The thing with the Colts is it's a team where it's like, oh, they could win. Like Anthony Richardson could make like three like awesome plays and you're like, of course, why would we ever pick against the Colts? And then the next week he could throw a pick six and like two more interceptions and you're like, why would we ever pick the Colts? So I don't think they can go on a run because I think the core piece is the quarterback position. I think it's just too volatile right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say he had two interceptions in this game, but he had two touchdowns as well. I think the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway from this game was they trust him though.
Yeah.
Like that you're on the road, and we say this a thousand times, even though no one ever really actually does it. They scored the touchdown, and then it's like, all right, do you kick the field goal and tie and go into overtime, or do you, you know, put your nuts on the table and go for two? And they went for two, and they just ran it right up the middle where Anthony Richardson got their two and won that game.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty intense sequence because when they scored the touchdown, just, you know, history has taught us, oh, you kick it, you tie the game. And then when they went for two, I was like, yeah, fucking, why not?
Like, yeah, like you go for not? The win.
Yeah,
I would say we've seen, I think it was a couple years ago or maybe even last season, John Harbaugh decided to go for two and they lost. Didn't get a 2-point conversion. They lost the game.
Well, we saw it this year with
the Bengals. I was going to say, we saw the Bengals do it earlier this year. Didn't get it. Lost the game. So having faith in that quarterback, and those are two coaches that obviously have faith in their quarterback. So Shane Steichen going and making that same call with effectively a rookie quarterback with Anthony Richardson, a raw product. And making that decision and it coming to and you know getting the desired result right there, it says a lot, speaks volumes into that dynamic. Speaking of a raw rookie quarterback, Drake May was the guy on the other side. Brennan, Do you think Drake May is the guy?
Yes.
You kind of spoiled it.
100%. I didn't mean to spoil it earlier, but I got to read these rundowns all the way through. Just real quick on the Shane Steichen thing with the Colts. Not only going for it, like win or lose, the faith that it shows your team as the head coach being like, no, I trust you. Like, I even if we lose this game, I'm showing you that I have faith in you. Mm. And that speaks volumes for a team's morale, like just 100%. And Drake May, I think, being a true rookie, but like he's rushing for, he's averaging like 35 yards a game on the ground. Like, I think he's it. I think they got him. Like, he's only 22. He looks, some of his throws, he looks great. Of course, he's a rookie. So some of his, you know, he throws some interceptions here and there that you're like, where are you going with that ball? But the fact that their offensive line is as bad as it is, and he's still sensing pressure, he's still rolling out of the pocket, he's still escaping, I think Drake May is the guy. And of course, we've had this happen with New England before. Mac Jones made a Pro Bowl his first year. But I think
in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think as far as just on like the eye test, like just looking at it, I think Drake May looks better than Mac Jones. I think he is the guy.
Yeah, I 100% concur. I think I said I might have blue skied last week that I think Drake May is the guy.
There's high praise good. Coming from Joe.
He looks good. He looks dynamic. I think also a lot of people are being fooled. Because, you know, he looks like a coach's son. Looks like a gym rat.
He does.
Looks like a workhorse.
Real smart player.
Oh, yeah. High IQ guy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people aren't, you know,
white.
Keeping He's a defender white. There and defending against his ability to run. I think.
This is the Daniel Jones paradox.
Yeah.
You're like, there's no fucking
it's
way.
It's the white quarterback paradox at this point. Because we've been seeing Justin Herbert get out and scamper this season. Burrow did
everyone
it more,
except
did it
Jaheim
less.
Allen. Everyone except Jaheim Allen.
Oh, yeah. Everybody know he's coming. that tank. Oh, man.
That Amari Cooper play was bananas.
Ridiculous. But, yeah, so I think Drake May has it. A big thing in New England, this has been going on since, you know, towards the end of Brady's last couple seasons, it's the pass catchers. It's who do they have there to be on the other side of it? Is he going to make names or do they need to get names?
That's something we talk about all the time, 100%.
It's like the names he has are people that everybody's kind of like, eh. I mean, Jalen Polk, I think he was at Washington last year and they drafted him. Yeah, he was a second-round pick from Washington, but, like, Butte and Kendrick Bourne's been there for, it feels like, four seasons and has done nothing. Butte was the kid from LSU. Didn't he have, like, a gambling thing on him or something or other?
I don't know.
I think
Jameson
so.
Williams. Jameson Williams is the only
Well, we know Jameson Williams. But DeMario Douglas, like, they just have a bunch of names that don't evoke any emotion. Will they go at some point and get their Stephon Diggs type to their Josh Allen? Like,
well, and
is that the move you have to make to really elevate this team and pick this team up?
The point I try to make a lot is that if they invest in that offensive line, because it is dog shit right now, if they invest in that offensive line, I think Drake May is capable of making some of
making
those wide
names.
Receivers. Yeah, making the names. And also, I want to say, because I listen to a lot of Bill Simmons, everyone knows that that listens to this. I find it fascinating. The only point I want to make is obviously he's a huge Patriots fan. And with the Mac Jones situation, it was a lot of teetering. It was a lot of like, oh, maybe this guy's the guy. Maybe he's not the guy. And with the Drake May, everyone that he talks to or talks about is like, no, he's the guy. And I think when you see that from a fan's perspective, you and I have talked about this with the Eagles. Where it's kind of like, eh, maybe, maybe not, maybe, maybe not. And then you get a guy in there where you're like, no, this is the guy. I think that speaks volumes just from a fan's
Worst organization to make that comparison for, because every time somebody has two bad games, we're like, get him out of here.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess fucking Jalen done. Me and Kyle have benched Jalen Hurts like three times this season.
Yeah, even in this season, we were like, he's not the guy. He can't make decisions.
Right, get him out. Get Sirianni out. Whole upheaval. But
well, when the Jags make the playoffs next year with Trevor Lawrence, I'll be able to say, like, yeah, we knew he was the guy from the start. Yeah.
You stuck by him. I didn't stick by him.
Oh, I'm sticking by him.
I said, get him out of there. But all right, moving on.
Go, Tommy! I didn't hear no bell.
Come.
One more round.
Jags, Texans, Brennan, go.
All right, so we actually were in this game. It was pretty competitive. It was 3-6 going into the half. We were like, oh, boy, here we go. And then there was – everyone has heard about the late hit on Trevor Lawrence by Al Shaair. It was a dirty play. It was a late hit. You can see him taking his elbow right into Trevor's head. He leaves his feet as Trevor's sliding. A lot of people were like, oh, it's a bang-bang play. I was like – he's coming off the ground as Trevor's sliding. Like, that's, it'd be one thing if he like stumbled into him. I get it. But he didn't. He's been flagged for this before. He's been disciplined before. It just came down before we started recording. Three games. Shaair will be out for. But this to me is, because this wasn't the Tua thing. This wasn't like trying to make a play and something happened.
He DeMar was Hamlin getting down. Tua
he was sliding, and Shaair is.
This is like none of the Tua things. All the Tua things, like outside of the one DeMar Hamlin one, the other two were in the pot, him in the pocket and slung down like a rag doll.
Yeah.
This was Trevor's making a play and he's sliding, getting, protecting himself. It was funny. Sorry to cut you off, but I was listening to Dominic Foxworth yesterday and he was like, there needs to be something that doesn't put all the onus on the defensive player and put some of the onus on the offensive player, the quarterback, to like signal they're giving themselves up. And I'm sitting here like, yeah, it's sliding. There's already a thing. Like,
it's literally
we're trying to make a rule for a rule.
Going down the slide.
Like, oh, I'm leaving my feet. Here I am. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it was hard to watch, not only as a fan of the Jags, but just as someone with as many concussions as I have and stuff, to see him go into the fencing pose and all that kind of stuff, it's a brutal hit. I mean, it's the fact that he got up and he like waved to the crowd and everything and then tweeted later that he was, you know, feeling okay.
They brought the card out, didn't they?
They brought the card out and then he got up and was like, I'm sitting in this cart. You're not taking me in this fucking back, the back of this cart. He like got up and sat down in the cart. He didn't lay down in the back. But I don't know. It's just, it's tough to watch because Trevor's a guy where, and we see this all the time in the NFL, where you draft a guy high and you're like, this is our guy. But then we've seen it with Burrow. Like, things happen. Like, injuries happen. And like, they're never playing. We see with Kyler, they're never playing fully healthy. And you're like, if we could just get through a season where this guy is okay, we're going to be a pretty good team. Now, for us, obviously, it was the antithesis this year, but we've lost 7 games by 7 or fewer points. Like, we're in every one of these games for the most part, except that Bills game where we got blowed out. That was disgusting. And then there was one more blowout in there.
Lions game.
The Lions game. Thank you. Yeah,
I thought you guys would keep it within 10.
But Houston doesn't look like the Houston of old. In fact, CJ Stroud doesn't look like, and it's hard to keep that expectation on him because that was a crazy rookie year. But even Tank Dell isn't producing. Nico Collins was out with an injury.
Tank Dell, let's not forget. I think the thing is, to make it political, but not really political. I think the thing that is the most destructive to humanity is we're too focused on the now. Like, we have no perception of the past.
Yeah.
Tank Dell got shot in the offseason, guys.
Yeah.
Like, people are talking about Tank Dell underperforming. He got him being around, like, well, that's the thing I said a couple weeks ago. I was like, him, Brian Robinson, and Ricky Pearsall, when he had his breakout game, I'm like, these three guys were shot and then came back to play football. Yeah, that's pretty insane.
100%. I'm just saying from like a statistical standpoint, the Houston Texans don't look like they. And I mean, that defense is still pretty good. But the fact that we came back in this game and like scored a garbage time touchdown, everyone's like, oh, they're keeping it close. Then all of a sudden it was like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. Well, it speaks volumes to the team. I've said it before. Doug Peterson, I assume, will be out. He has lost that locker room. And this just reinforces that.
I'm shocked he stayed through the bye.
I was shocked too, but Shad doesn't like to fire people during the season. Again, the Urban Meyer.
We heard that about the houses too, and they finally fired.
I know. Hey, that was the first time in 103 years. Like,
just saying.
You're right, though. It doesn't happen until it happens. But I love the Jags. This is my team. It was pretty gruesome to watch. Not the game itself because we kept it close, but like just that injury. I don't think Trevor should have been playing. I said when he was thinking about getting surgery, he should just shut it down for the year. But yeah, Mac Jones didn't look terrible. He looked bad, but not
terrible. Man.
He keeps doing that thing where
keeps
he's
looking
like,
not terrible.
Where like the first two
especially
series, like,
for home
this
games.
Guy sucks, and then all
especially
of a sudden
for
it's
home
like,
games.
He's a Duval kid, baby. Like he's.
I do want to say this. This is the last thing I'll say on this game.
Also, real quick, Parker Washington, back up. It's Brian Thomas Jr.'s team. Stop taking my fantasy points with your touchdowns, bro.
It's a great point. I think the refereeing needs to be better in the sense that I think the refereeing needs to be human.
Yeah.
You can't offset penalties that.
Yeah. For those of you listening, there was a big fight after Trevor got hit. Evan Engram ran in and like hit Al Shaair. And then there was a big scuffle, and then they threw a bunch of flags, and then they offsetted the penalties because there was offsetting penalties. But I think they should have personal fouled the hit and then done the other penalties after the fact.
Like, I think there's one inciting action.
Yeah.
And everything's a fallout. Like, we can't penalize the reactions to that. Like, if everybody's focus, the NFL, the players associated, everybody's talking about head health and mental health and all these things. Brain health is a big thing. Like, and I know this goes against like all the rule, but like if there's a clear targeting hit where somebody needs to be ejected, if a fight then ensues, none of the fighting participants are going to get flagged. We're only going to flag the inciting incident.
Yeah.
Because now we're the only solace you can take from that hit is we're going to get 15 yards. Now we're not even getting that.
Yeah. And just,
so he's not penalized aside from he has to leave the game, but none of it impacts the game.
Yeah, and we could have won that game had we had that first down. But I do want to say there is – you and I have this discussion all the time where people often are like, well, I don't know. Is Trevor the guy? I will say Trevor has that locker room. You can tell by the reaction.
Where everybody came out, yeah.
Yeah, Trevor has the offense, defense. It didn't matter. Trevor has that locker room. So Trevor, as far as the Jaguars locker room is concerned, Trevor is the guy.
One more
round. All right, Eagles at Baltimore. The Eagles won this game. The Eagles took care of business. Another game with Devontae Smith wasn't playing. AJ and Dallas Goedert had to be the only two receiving targets, pretty much. Saquon got it done on the ground. The defense held firm. I really want to focus more on Baltimore, and I really want to focus on one person.
Lamar Jackson.
Put your lighters in the air. We lost a great one.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Tucker had been my guy for so many years, helped in so many fantasy seasons.
R.I.P.
And he just doesn't have it anymore. Like, so this is going to sound blasphemous, but the lady wanted to go to the store at some point. So I was like, all right, give me to the end of the game. And then I was like, I think we're going to win this game pretty comfortably. Even though it was 14-12 at that time, I was like, let's go at halftime. And I'm in the store, and I want to say No, nobody scored in the third quarter. So we're in the store. They lined up for a field goal, and he missed another one. And I'm like, he missed another one? I was like, this is starting to hurt me. Like, yeah. Baltimore for many years has been my AFC team. I know some people frown on having teams in other conferences, but they had Ray Lewis. They had Ed Reed. They had my heart, okay? And then they got Lamar from, you know, back home. So I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Ravens. So therefore, I always had a soft spot for Justin Tucker. And to see him going through this, and you see it killing him. And Harbaugh is doing the thing you do as a coach and just trying to, you know, help him soldier through. But I think Justin Tucker has cost them like two games and could have been a third game if they lost that one to Cincy. But he ended up making the field goal there. But they should have beat Pittsburgh if not for him. They should have beat the Raiders. So three games. Should have beat Pittsburgh. Should have beat the Raiders. Have a better shot at beating the Eagles. Did he miss any in the Browns game they lost?
I don't know.
Missed one in the Browns game. And I think that changed how the end of that game would have went, because I think they would have only needed three instead of another touchdown. So you don't want to blame one person, but he kind of single-handedly, I think he missed some in the Chiefs game to start the season.
Yeah, all he right. was 2 of 3 in the Chiefs game.
Damn. He's missed a game. He's missed at least one in every game they have lost.
Yep. I'm looking at it right now. He's 70% on the season. He's 19 of 27, which when you say 19 of 27, you're not. And the other thing, too, I just, for the record, anything within 40 yards, he's automatic. 40 to 49 yards, he's 5 of 8, so that's not terrible. He's 4 of 9 from 50 plus. Now, remember, 10 years ago, we would have been like 50-yard field goal, 50 plus. That's crazy. And now that's supposed to be automatic. So it is.
Well, the thing is, he's the guy that changed the perception.
He is the one.
He was the one that started making it like, oh, you got 50. If you got 50 yards, Justin Tucker, easy. 50, he was the one that made the, what, 60?
62.
61? 62-yarder? The hop, skip in Detroit? So it's like he's the guy that made us believe, and now he don't got it no more.
Doesn't last forever.
Man, and it hurts. It really hurts. But yeah, no, it reminded me, I'm hoping he has a Vinatieri or Robbie Gould-like renaissance where I don't think he goes beyond this season with them.
Do you think they cut him?
I after this season, I think they have to.
No, but I'm saying, do you think they cut him mid-season?
I don't think they cut him mid-season. This team is too sentimental in that way. I don't think they're as cutthroat as some people would like them to be or would think that they are. I think they cut him at the end of the season, and I think, like Adam Vinatieri and Robbie Gould, I think hopefully he goes to another location and has a bit of a new life. Like when Vinatieri left New England, he ended up on the Colts. He was having some crazy misses towards the end of his time in New England. Goes to the Colts, wins Peyton Manning his first Super Bowl with a game-winning field goal. Robbie Gould, having some bad times in Chicago, leaves there, goes to San Francisco, has another really good couple years to tack on to the end of his career. So
I do want to say that the most glaring stat is he does have two missed extra points. One was blocked.
That too. Yeah.
That's the most glaring.
And one of those were in the game the other day. Yeah. It's really bad. It's really bad. That's crazy. Right. From 40 to 49, he has three misses. And then 5 50 plusers. That's
pretty insane.
That's rough. All right, next game.
One more round.
All right, Jets, I got Seahawks. 10 minutes left before I have to go to work. We're talking Jets Seahawks. See how I threw that in there just to let Joe know where we're at.
I did catch him.
The Jets are, this is a disaster. The Jets were up like 21-0 in this game.
Man, I literally sent a message to my buddies. I was like, wow, the Jets finally learned how to win. And then as the game kept going, and I was like, wow, they finally learned how to lose.
Yeah, the Seahawks put 16 on them in the second quarter. Aaron Rodgers missed a wide open Garrett Wilson at one point and then went back to the well and then threw a pick six the next play. The Jets are going to jet. It's not. And they're in a rough spot because I was one of those people like, oh, they've got the quarterback. Now they're going to be good. They have this defense. Then they fire Robert Saleh, and the defense has not looked the same when you fire your defensive head coach.
Your defensive guru.
Yeah, and Aaron, like, as much shit as everybody wanted to talk about Saleh, that defense has fallen apart since he's left. Aaron Rodgers is not good. He missed a couple throws, too, which I love to see because Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr do this thing where 99% of the time they'll blame the receiver. So it's nice when they, like, overthrow him or something, and then you want to be like, yeah, what are you going to say now? And they still find a way. Aaron Rodgers still found a way to put this on the team. Even though he threw the pick six that lost in the game, he was still like, yeah, well, there's 11 guys out there. You know, it's not all on one person. And you're like, okay, dude, whatever. But if someone drops a pass, it's automatically, well, you know, so-and-so dropped a pass. So what do you want me to do? So he's a prima donna. I think they have to bring him back next year because they don't have any other options. Cool. It's going to be a disaster. Yeah. And I'm here for it. Seattle also, Geno, love my guy. They're looking
you
good.
You said 10 minutes and you could talk for 30 of them. Jesus.
it's one more round. We just go boom, 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 boom.
You didn't go boom, boom. You stuck on the Jets for a long time. But I say that as I'm going back to the previous one. I just saw a stat that was crazy. In losses, Justin Tucker, 56%.
Oh my God. That's nuts.
In losses, 56%. That's insane.
I was going to shame you for going back to another game, but that is a horrific stat.
That's a crazy stat. All right. My one more round. Play.
One more round.
All right. The Atlanta Falcons lose to the Los Angeles Chargers. Kirk Cousins throws four interceptions in this game.
You like that?
The Chargers didn't have to do much. Kirk now leads the league in interceptions. I think we've seen all we have from Kirk to know that he ain't going to do it. Not going to crack that code.
Before the season, if I told you Sam Darnold on the Vikings or Kirk Cousins on the Falcons, who you taking?
I would have took...
I'd have taken Kirk Cousins on the Falcons to have a better season.
I don't know.
Just going into the season, everything we knew about those guys.
I know. Can't count this season. We're talking about them specifically. I don't know because the thing is, I've seen Justin Jefferson do well with a bad quarterback.
That's true. But
I've never seen Drake London, Kyle Pitts, or Bijan do anything pretty much.
Yeah, I know. Just those names, though. I would have been like, he's got so many more weapons. I don't know what I'm
saying. And we thought everybody who walked in there had so many weapons, and nobody figured it out.
Nobody's figured it out.
But yeah, Kurt, also another stat. He has moved the least of any quarterback that has been recorded in like this next-gen era. As far as mobility in and around the pocket, like he's a statue. He is a sitting target. So I just thought that was interesting. Chargers win one easily. Bucks, this also dovetails with the Bucks pulling out that win against the Panthers. Now they're tied for number one in their division.
I believe we had that.
We thought was going to be terrible. And then after the first 2 weeks, it's like, is this the best division in football? And everything is broken out and back to being the worst division we've ever seen.
You'd be surprised how.
All right, everybody. It's time for the nation's favorite game. We're talking college football, the NCAA. Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? Hosted by the one and only Joe.
Brennan. Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? Let's do it as quick as we can without me getting into the Syracuse and Miami of it all. Brennan, which one you want first? Who's in, who's
out? Let's go
with who's up, who's down.
Who's in, who's out?
Who's in, who's out? Tulane loses. They lost to Memphis. So the leaders in Green Wave have lost the wave. They are out. Texas A&M took an L to Texas. They find themselves on the outside as well. Now, who is in Syracuse after beating Miami 42-38? You can't win anything if you're going to give up 42 points, guys. The Syracuse is in, and Memphis, like I said, after beating Tulane is in. As far as who's up, who's down, losing five spots. We love to see it. We love to see it. The only thing that can make me happy on a bad Saturday, Ohio State loses to Michigan 13-10. Man, we can't even get into all the flag playing because you got to go to work. We'll do it. We'll do a walk-off on that next week. Michigan beats Ohio State to drop them. Yeah, all the rivalry, the flag plan, and all the fights that ensued. Miami dropped six spots after, again, allowing 42 points on the defense and only scoring 38. Only scoring 38. Usually, I feel like the goddamn Cincinnati Bengals scoring 38 and taking it out. What are you doing?
Still can't get it.
Still can't get it. But, yes, we fell six spots, and Clemson fell six spots after losing to their in-state rival, 17-14. Clemson, though, will find themselves in the ACC championship game due to the fact that they only have one conference loss. Miami has two, losing to Georgia Tech and now Syracuse. We're having to cross our fingers, hope, wish, and pray that we can get into the college football playoffs. There was a couple close games that were played by a bunch of these teams at the top, though, so we'll get into that. Oregon, not one of them. They're number one. Texas is number two. Penn State is number three. Notre Dame, this is the AP, by the way. Notre Dame is fourth. Georgia, fifth, after gutting it out in a 44-42 eight overtime game against, oh, who is that? That's Georgia Tech, a team Miami lost to. Shared losses there, but somehow Georgia won it, so actually not a shared loss. Tennessee beat Georgia. Should have lost it.
I saw it. They should have lost that game.
Tech is a running team.
Sneaky.
No, hold on. Tech is a running team. For eight overtime, they decided to throw the ball every time. And the team who won, finally the team that was like, how about we hand it to the running back 3 yards away from the end zone?
Also, it should have never gone to overtime.
Should have never gone to overtime. So many things wrong with that. It was a home game for Georgia, so I'm assuming they had SEC refs there. Anyways, Ohio State fell to 7. SMU has found their way to 8 after throttling California. Indiana throttled Purdue, 66-0. Boise beat Oregon State. Alabama beat Auburn. And Arizona State beat Arizona. That is your top 12 in the AP. Tonight, we'll be getting the college football playoff ranking going into championship week. Did I laugh at Lane Kiffin last week?
No, you did not.
Okay, when Ole Miss lost to Florida, I was like, huh, too focused on whether you want to be in or out of the conference championship game. How about you just win the games in front of you and you figure that out later? Now you're not going to be in it and you're not getting to the playoffs. So
nope.
Shut the fuck up.
I mean, they have an outside shot.
You'd be surprised how quick.
Quick! Name it hits quick.
They don't. South Carolina gets in before them. Miami gets in before them.
South Carolina don't want to see them in the playoff.
Don't either. That was a good team. Nuts. That was a good team. They should have beat Alabama this year and they should have beat LSU this year.
They should have.
Quick hits, Fulham Corner. We went to Spurs. We played a phenomenal first half. Didn't score. Hit the crossbar about two different times. Raul had an opportunity to get a goal in late there in the first half. Kicked it right to the – I think he kicked it off the shin of the goalkeeper. Started the second half. They scored fairly easily because we were out of position because, again, we were attacking. And then substitutions, I want to say around the 60th minute, as usual, for Marco, bringing in Harry Wilson and Tom Kearney. Tom Kearney, oh, captain, my captain, gets a delivery from Alex Iwobi, rockets it in, bounces off the crossbar and in this time, thank goodness. He gets the one goal for us, so it's 1-1. And then about 5 minutes later, he takes a very ill – he made a very ill-advised pass that got intercepted, then made a very ill-advised tackle on the person who stole the ball and got a red card. So now we're down to 10 men, but we were able to hold on for dear life in the last like 10, 15-ish minutes, 10 to 12 minutes about, we were able to hold on and come out of there with a draw, 1-1. In more news, we have a game on Thursday. We have a couple Sunday, Thursday situations. And then we just got our matchup for the FA Cup started in the new year. We're going to be playing Watford at home, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, good stuff. I think we're still like 9 in the table. Let me double check real fast. Oh, 10. Number 10 in the table. Tied with Man U for 9-10, basically. Oh, Brentford, sorry. But interesting thing, Brennan, I don't know if you've been watching the development. We're going to have a new champion this year. Without a doubt, we will have a new champion this year. Man City has suffered a ton of injuries between playing in the Champions, playing in the Premier League, and everything else. They have lost a handful of games, 4 games. Mind you, last year, I think they only lost 3 games in all of last year. They have lost 4 games already this season. So they're currently sitting at 5th on the table. Liverpool is currently leading, number 1. They only have 1 loss, 1 draw, 11 wins, 34 points. The team next to them is Arsenal. They're 9 points off of them. So it looks like Liverpool is going to win their 2nd in the last 5-6 years. So that'll be interesting. You got a bunch of different teams now in the top 10, top 5 than usual. So, yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
We're trying to get out of here. It's okay.
I just felt something was different as I was going.
I almost brought it up, but I was like, I can't let him get distracted because he will pander on about Fulham for a long time.
All right. I like going to the end of the song for some reason. All right, Brennan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. Check out my other podcast, X Drinking Buddy. I have guests on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. Joe.
Donnell Suggs, the last one. Good episode.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
I was so confused in the beginning, and then you guys finally explained why you kept making that joke.
Oh, yeah.
you can find me. Yeah, you can find me on all social media at Joe Dorville, particularly Blue Sky. Very heavy on the Blue Sky right now. Big on the Blue Skies. Ariel was like, how do you have, at that point, she was like, how do you have over 200 posts? I was like, hey, man, I'm just on the Blue Sky. All right? I'm just a kill guy that likes the Blue Sky. All right. You can check out my music at Headphone Joe on all digital streaming platforms. You can check out the merch. Etsy. Actually, there's a new website I can give that's a little easier. I think it is, where is it? Headphonejoe.etsy.com.
That's there you easier. Go. Boom.
Way easier. No slashes. No, no dashes. In the phone. You're in the phone. Thank you. And yeah, that's it. Brennan, let's get you out of here so you can get on some Sudafed and get to work.
Hell yeah. And that's why we play the game.
Can you even take Sudafed? Hello.
Yeah, I can. Huge shout out, Trevor Lawrence, my guy, the prince that was promised. Get better soon, my dude. 3 games. Should have been until Trevor comes back. You don't come back. Hockey rules.
Yeah, hockey rules. All right, real bud.